football team, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
We welcome you to a new episode of the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. I'm Chris Russell as we hit midweek of the bye week. Good to have you with us. No David Harrison on this particular episode. He'll return a little bit later on this week. We're obviously running a little bit of a reduced schedule with the team off this Sunday. And that's probably a good thing at 2-6. Thanks for making us your first listen of the day. We are free and available on all platforms. As well, make sure you check out David on Twitter at dharrison82. Make sure you check him out, si.com's Fan Nation, covering the Washington football team. And as well, you can check out me Monday through Friday, 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern time most days. Sometimes a little shorter than that, depending on the Washington Wizards. On the team, 980 and the Odyssey app, the Washington football team flagship station with Pete Medhurst. Again, from 3 to 7, usually p.m. Eastern time. All right, so here's what we're going to do on this particular episode. A couple of house cleaning items. We're re-recording this because we tried to sneak a episode in before leaving Washington, D.C. and going on break. That did not work in our favor, so we're re-recording this after a busy Tuesday, but not anywhere near as busy of a Tuesday as originally was expected. All right, so here's the deal. The Washington football team has made a bunch of roster moves, and here's the news and notes items that we'll start the show with. Jace Sternberger, young tight end, who they claimed off of the Seattle Seahawks practice squad a couple of weeks ago, and who they've been carrying on their 53, is released. And that basically tells you that Logan Thomas, there's a pretty darn good feel that Logan Thomas is going to be okay for the return after the bye week against Tampa Bay, which obviously would be great news and much needed, especially inside the red zone. Also, the WFT put Chase Roullier, as officially expected, on the injured reserve list, meaning he has to miss at least the next three games. But if we're being honest, although Ron Rivera has not confirmed this or said this, and to my knowledge, there hasn't been an official report, Chase Roullier is expected to miss much of the remainder of the season, if not the entire rest of the season, with a fibula injury. Meanwhile, in his place on the roster, Derek Forrest, the fifth-round pick out of the University of Cincinnati, the safety and special team ace, is getting called up to the active roster, so that's interesting. Also, Washington on Tuesday re-signing Wendell Smallwood to their practice squad, running back who spent some time here in 2019. I don't believe he was with the team for any part of last year, but I would have to double check that. He goes back to the practice squad. He's also spent some time with the Philadelphia Eagles. Guard Zach Bailey also signed to the practice squad, and running back Jonathan Williams has been released from the practice squad. So there's a whole bunch of roster moves for you. No trades made by the Washington football team on trade deadline day. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on in the episode. And here's one other thing that we wanted to kind of get into. Ron Rivera originally was supposed to have a practice on Wednesday of this year, the bye week, the day that this episode is debuting, and that is no longer the case. So originally, the schedule was to have players report film meetings Monday, regardless of whether they won against the Denver Broncos or not. They did not. And have Tuesday off, their normal players' day off, and then return on Wednesday for a practice. That was the original schedule. However, as it was explained to me, and also then Ron explained on the Junkies on 106.7 The Fan, where he makes a weekly appearance on Tuesday morning, was that the team was so beat up, so many injuries, according to what the trainers told him and what the doctors told him, that it really didn't make any sense to have a practice on Wednesday, and the team and the players would benefit the most by being able to come in on Tuesday for basically what was termed a light conditioning workout, just to get them in the building, get some, I guess some workout room, weight room type stuff done, maybe some cardio, that type of thing, and to let them go for the extended bye week break of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So again, no practice on Wednesday, which was originally scheduled, which I thought was, you know, kind of a good thing, but I'm also a little old-fashioned and a little bit of a jerk, if I'm going to be honest with you. You're 2-6. You don't deserve any longer vacation than I absolutely have to give you. Ron's not that mean. Ron listened to the doctors, I guess. Ron listened to the trainers, and Ron maybe thought better of it and maybe listened to some of his players. I don't know that. And decided to basically give them 5 consecutive days off after having them report to the facility on Monday and Tuesday, which is, you know, what a lot of teams wind up doing. I believe the mandate from the CBA is 5 days off, and Ron was going to give them 5 days off, but there was going to be a break in between or a practice in between, meaning day off on Tuesday, practice on Wednesday, and then Thursday through Sunday off, making it theoretically harder, for anybody to go away. And again, remember, one of the things about being vaccinated, fully vaccinated in the NFL, is you can now leave the facility. You do not have to report for daily testing. If you are unvaccinated, and again, officially, we don't know what players officially are unvaccinated, although we know some of them, you have to report to the facility every day and get tested. Even on the bye week, there is no bye week from testing. There is no day off from testing. So all of this factored in, but probably this is the right move to give these guys an extra day of physical and mental break. Everybody needs it, quite honestly. That's why David and I are working a reduced schedule this week here on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. So again, that is the deal on the roster moves, on the reshuffled bye week schedule, and no trades. We'll have more on the trade deadline reaction. Again, no moves being made. Plenty of names out there were certainly options. There was a rumor flying around that Mitch Trubisky could be heading here from the Buffalo Bills. That did not happen. Don't know how close that potentially got, but that's where we're at right now on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast.
We've been telling you about the GetUpside app. David and I, Washington Football Team fans, simply put, you have to get this incredible app. If you buy gas, if you drive, and most of us do, get the GetUpside app. Our listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up by just simply downloading the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. I've done it. David's done it. Use the promo code TOUCHDOWN and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. It works. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using the GetUpside app. Just download the app for free. Use the promo code TOUCHDOWN. And again, you're going to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. You're doing driving for the bye week. You're going away. You're going to visit family. You need this app. Some people who are driving a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back. You can use it for your checking account. You can cash out anytime you want. PayPal, e-gift card, Amazon, other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use the promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. 25 cents thereafter. Promo code TOUCHDOWN and do it. All right, this is the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. Good to have you with us. I'm Chris Russell, flying solo on this particular episode. Again, we're on a limited schedule this week because of the bye week and because of the misery endured by the 2-6 first 8 games of the schedule, still 9 to go, starting with the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers next Sunday at FedEx Field. The Bucs are also on their bye week. No David Harrison. He'll return later for one more episode this week, and then we'll be back full throttle next week with a full week of episodes as we lead you into that game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right, so something Ron said that was kind of interesting, a couple of things, actually. Number one, Monday at 2 o'clock, he met with the media. Plenty of time for him to check with the assistant athletic trainer, whose name is Mark McCracken, because everyone else is under investigation by the DEA. And we still haven't heard a whole lot about that in recent weeks, anyway. So he said, well, you know, I have no injury report. I've got to check with him right after this because Ron doesn't want to talk about injuries. And Ron's not going to talk about injuries until Wednesday, which is the day, you know, you might be listening to this. And also because somehow, some way, the information on injuries will get leaked, whether it's from the player's agent. And when we say, you know, injuries, I mean, we're talking about Chase Roullier specifically in terms of the severity of the injuries, right? I mean, that's the one that everybody's kind of worried about the most. So who knows when we're going to get that information. It might be after or already out by the time you're listening to this. Understand, again, we're under a limited time frame here and a different schedule this week. But Ron... And look, it did not look good for Chase Roullier. I'd be surprised if you see him the rest of the year. Hopefully you do, but I'd be surprised. Ron said he's basically sticking with Heinicke, and it was kind of a lukewarm endorsement, saying, look, basically, obviously, everybody knows you got to be better in the red zone. But he didn't have a problem as much as I did and as much as I think David did and others in terms of the sacks that Heinicke endured. Now, some of that obviously is because they lost so many guys on their offensive line, including Roullier, Eric Flowers late, obviously Cosme and Cornelius Lucas at the right tackle spot. Brandon Scherff was out again. Hopefully they'll get him back. The bottom line is they didn't have really an offensive line, so we understand. But Taylor Heinicke, in my opinion, on three sacks took way too long. That mental clock, especially with all those guys, has got to be quicker, got to be quicker. And he's too slow with it. So everybody wants him to run around, pull a rabbit out of his magic hat, boot rolls by design, sprint by design, quarterback draws, all this stuff. That's all great. Taylor Heinicke needs a lot of experience to become an NFL quarterback. And he's not doing what NFL quarterbacks, at least ones in the top, you know, half of the league, and guys that are going to start week in, week out, and be semi-productive or mostly productive. He's just not doing it well enough. Red zone, again, taking too long, not anticipating. We know the arm strength, not seeing certain guys, that type of thing. The one before the half, which knocks them out of field goal range, the one on the second to last one, which knocks them on from a third and six, I think it was, at the 7 yard line, and knocks them into a fourth and goal from the 19, and then the one on the final drive, just way too much. And I know, again, they are very thin at right tackle, and that's where all of that pressure came from. You can't do that. Your mental clock has to be quicker, has to be better, has to be faster. It just has to be. It just has to be. Period. As far as Chris Blewett, the embattled place kicker who replaced Dustin Hopkins, Ron Rivera answered several questions. He talked about what happened on a couple of the blocks, again, hitting the ball in the middle of the ball instead of getting underneath it. I think that makes sense based on what I saw. Obviously, there was one low snap that Tressway kind of struggled to kind of get in the right position. That threw off the timing, the rhythm, the operation, all that. I'm not saying that absolutely caused it, but certainly that contributed to it. And Ron was asked, you know, about the future. And he said, basically, if he was sticking with Blewett. And he said, for now, okay, kickers are hard to find. And he went into a further explanation. I'll spare you some of the details. They are hard to find. But there's no way, again, I had no problem with the Dustin Hopkins release. There's no way that Ron Rivera can tell me they couldn't find anybody else besides a guy who hadn't kicked in an NFL game and who hadn't kicked in a meaningful game since 2016. Just simply no way. The reason why they signed Blewett was because, A, Blewett had been in their operation and had practiced with some of these guys, so he had some familiarity with Tress, with Cameron Cheeseman. That's number one. Number two, they got word that he was working out, possibly on the radar for Indianapolis to sign. Boom, they signed him. And three, Hopkins obviously missed a 42-yarder, which completely turned around and began the precipitous slide against Kansas City. Oh, yeah, people don't think about all this stuff. All they want is your raw results. And the results are really bad. two different decisions in my eyes, but the reason why they, again, signed Blewett was because he had been here. He had some familiarity with what they were asking him to do with the operation. You need that. It's hard to bring in a kicker off the streets and have them kick on Sunday. So that's why they went with Blewett. Do I agree with the decision? Of course not. Would I rather a veteran kicker off the street? Yes. But I understand, ultimately, I think, what they were trying to do, if indeed that's what they were trying to do. Now, they won't kind of haven't talked about that, but that's using common sense and maybe a little bit of inside information. So the bottom line is, Chris Blewett has blown it. He may not be the kicker much longer, if he's not already. And one name to keep an eye on is Joey Sly. The former Virginia Tech kicker has bounced around to several teams, currently with the San Francisco 49ers, but it looks like Robbie Gould is coming back off of an injury and might be back for this week. And if Robbie Gould is, he's clearly better than Sly. That means Sly likely gets cut. And Sly was with Ron and Carolina in 2019, replacing an injured Graham Gano. So Ron's very familiar. Now, Nate Katzer, the special teams coordinator, was not with Sly and Carolina at that point. But Sly, again, a former Virginia Tech Hokie, also kicked in high school at Stafford High School in Northern Virginia. So this would be a trip back home for him. He's got some NFL experience. I mean, clearly, I think it would be an upgrade over Chris Blewett. So Joey Sly is a name you should keep an eye on once San Francisco makes a decision on Robbie Gould, and it might take until early next week. That's a name you should keep an eye on. So you have that. All right, when we return here on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast, we will wrap up, if anything happened, on the trade deadline day of Tuesday for the Washington football team. Lots of big names out there. Landon Collins, J.D. McKissic, Brandon Scherff. Who went? Who didn't go? That's next, right here on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. All right, guys, in life, we're all bound for different things. With beachbound.com vacations, you could be bound for adventure, bound for passion. Who doesn't love passion? Bound for discovery or bound for togetherness? Bound for immersion, bound for rejuvenation. Or maybe you may be bound for encountering the unexpected. Personally, when I'm at a beach resort, I'm bound to end up at the poolside bar, maybe creating my own taco flight. As long as I've got a good view and a good drink in my hand, I'll be happy as I can be. Please, somebody take my phone. With beachbound.com, guys, you can find the perfect vacation for you, no matter what you're looking for. What are you bound for? Visit beachbound.com today. That's beachbound.com today. We're back and better than ever, guys. BetOnline.ag, a new web interface for the start of the basketball season, which is already underway. More props, odds, lines than ever before. Live in-game odds. Very cool. All sorts of fun things you can do. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball, football action, and as well the hockey. Don't forget about my NHL, guys. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website. Sign up today. You receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus from basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. For purposes of our discussion here, the way I think I'm going to do this is Washington not making a trade is kind of the story here. So Landon Collins, we found out via Ben Standing of The Athletic and the Standing Room Only podcast that he was available for a trade. Well, no duh, Sherlock. 3 years left on his contract. Nobody's going to take that deal. Washington, I believe, would be charged in dead money on next year's cap, just shy of $10 million to trade him. The money is not guaranteed, so they could cut him and save a bunch of money. But they are going to have to take a dead cap hit, again, I believe, just under $10 million next year if they cut him or trade him. J.D. McKissic, Bobby McCain, Ricky Seals-Jones, Charles Leno Jr., Adam Humphries, Bobby McCain, I think I mentioned him, Tim Settle, and Brandon Scherff, all guys with expiring contracts, among others, Ryan Fitzpatrick, but he's not healthy right now, Troy Apke, so on and so forth. Those guys, all with expiring contracts, should have been able to fetch something for Washington, right? One or two. But the bottom line is, how many contending teams want players, even though they're nice contributors in some ways, for this 2-6 horror show that is the Washington football team? You know, are they willing to give up a 6th-round pick or even a 7th-round pick for an expiring contract tight end or a safety with a big mouth? That's part of the problem here. Tim Settle is one guy that I thought might be able to draw some interest, and maybe he did. J.D. McKissic, another one. Expiring contract, very useful player, good pass pro for the most part, excellent hands, tough, good leader. But ultimately, Washington decided whatever interest they had and whatever offers were made, assuming that there were offers, that there was nothing cooking for the Washington football team. All right, so before we wrap up shop on this, again, version of the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast midweek, David will be back with another episode before the week is out again during the bye week. We're on a limited schedule. I just wanted to throw this out to you. Pro Football Focus had a new mock draft that they put out on Monday, and it was loaded with defensive players up front. Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon going number one overall. Darrell Stingley Jr., LSU corner, I think going number three. Number five, the Washington football team. Who'd they go with? Matt Corral, the quarterback from Ole Miss. We'd love to hear your opinions on Matt Corral from Ole Miss. Do you love what you've seen so far? I mean, how could you not? He's been very, very good. He's tough as nails. He came back from a brutal-looking injury the other night and played reasonably well for Lane Kiffin. Matt Corral's a tough dude with mobility, seemingly pretty good accuracy. I don't know if he's worth the number five overall pick. I really don't. What I would say to you guys is this. There's going to be a lot of quarterbacks connected, Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett, to the Washington football team. Again, just remember, the worst thing they can do is to overreach for somebody just because they're desperate. I still think they're going to go the veteran quarterback route more than the rookie quarterback route, but that's the latest from Pro Football Focus. All right, if you want to leave us a voicemail with your thoughts on that, 301-615-3577. That's 301-615-3577. Or if you want to drop us an email, it's lockedwftpod@gmail.com. Again, that's going to do it for us right here on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. I'm Chris Russell, flying solo on this episode. David will be back with another episode before the week is out. Of course, we remind you and thank you for making the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast your first listen each and every day, free and available on all platforms. Now make the second listen of your day the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. Brian Peacock, former NFL scout Matt Williamson, giving you the expert NFL analysis in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available on all platforms. Again, that's going to do it for us. We appreciate you being patient with us and understanding, obviously, everybody taking a little time to recharge the batteries. Except for those pesky players for the Washington football team. They had to work on Wednesday. You know, listen, we'll see. If, again, you want to hop on in the voicemail, 301-615-3577. Again, thanks so much for being with us. Don't forget to check out David. He is writing about the Washington football team on SI.com/NFL/Washington football, part of Fan Nation. And I am co-host of the Russell and Ned Hurst Show on the Washington football team's flagship station, The Team 980, available on the Odyssey app. Thanks for being with us on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast.